you're wrong. Fuck you, we're right. You have all made it to the dance. 'Cause believe me, this is the dance.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's now time for the Royal Grumble. I'm your host, Daryl. Usually it's Graham, but he's fertile, remember that. Yeah, and sitting across the table from me, it's Dan. Say hello, Dan.
Hello. You jumped the gun a little bit there. You should have given it another few bars there.
Well, you didn't. I thought you were going to like count me in. I was waiting.
I normally give you the point.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I didn't get a chance because you jumped the gun there. Never mind.
I always come too early, don't I?
Opening contest.
Yeah,
you don't know about this opening contest.
Yeah, let me just warn everyone and warn Graham, who's going to be listening in. I actually genuinely do not know what's going to come next. So he's doing an opening contest.
Yeah.
He's not told me about it.
So we've got a bit of an issue where last week on the show, we mentioned the fact that the reason Graham's not here, we do have a message from him in a little bit, actually.
Okay.
Which
I also haven't heard.
We need to name Graham's child for the show purposes of the show.
Okay.
It's not that bad, is it?
No, well, I've been bandying about a name for a while.
Yeah, I know. But I figured out the best way to do it is we're both going to offer a name.
Okay.
But we're going to play rock, paper, scissors, which I know is a visual thing, but there's no other way of us doing it right now. So we're just going to do one thing, rock, paper, scissors, one time, and whoever wins gets to be the first name, the other person gets to be the second name.
So essentially, we're going to give it a first name and a middle name anyway.
Yeah. But it's just to decide who gets the first name, because I know what name you're going to give him.
Dear?
Well, there's two good options I think you've got.
Okay, yeah. Do you want me to go first then?
Well, so we do the rock, paper, scissors, and then and then the loser can give the middle name and then the other person give the first name.
Okay, are you ready?
Okay.
One, rock, two, three. Well, I lost that.
Yeah.
He did rock and I did scissors.
Yep.
Everyone.
So, Graham's child's middle name is?
Farouk.
Farouk. And because I'm complete... I didn't think much past this whole setup. Let's just say Mo for short.
What were you going to say?
Mohammed.
What did you think I was going to say?
Farouk or Mohammed.
Did you? Oh, okay.
So, Graham's child, Mo Farouk, last name.
Yeah. So,
well done, Graham.
Little Mo's doing all right.
Yeah, yeah. Mother and baby are fine. Dad, I think he's going a little stir crazy because he sent a lot of messages today while I was at work and you were busy with other things. And he sent this voice message that I'm going to play live on the show right now.
Okay.
Hopefully you'll be able to hear this properly. You would be able to hear it if I actually turned up the fucking channel.
Oh, that'd be good. He's not in charge of sound or out, is he?
Ah. I need it to go back now. It won't. Right.
Weeks, I think it's pretty clear why I'm not on again this week. Frankly, I'm just going to be upfront and honest about it and give you a little insight into my life. I needed, you know, 2 full weeks to be prepared for Jinder Mahal versus Shinsuke Nakamura. So that's what I needed. Anyway, hopefully be back with you guys soon. See you later.
Yeah, that worked.
Well, so you just needed 2 weeks
to prepare for Jinder Mahal versus Shinsuke.
How's he preparing?
I don't know. By having a child?
Maybe. It's more than 2 weeks' work, that, isn't it?
He's taking his paternity leave so seriously, he watched 205 Live.
Why would he do that?
We'll talk about that later.
Okay.
What's first on the schedule?
On the menu, we've got Raw ?
Yeah. Stuff happened on Raw this week.
Shit happened on Raw. Yeah. I want to talk about S.H.I.E.L.D.
Let's talk about the S.H.I.E.L.D.
Well, they finally realised that Miz Taraj is a shit team.
Yep.
So they gave Miz, Cesaro and Sheamus, didn't they?
It'd be much better.
Yeah.
As much as, like, I've even shit on Sheamus quite a bit. In that team, he's pretty good.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he's not at ring all time and he's not doing as much damage as he could do by himself.
Yeah, and Cesaro's there, isn't he? Being all Swiss and that. With his gum shield in.
Yep. Smart, really, that.
Yeah, everyone should wear a gum shield, shouldn't they?
Yeah. You know, Neville used to wear a gum shield before he went to NXT.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he bashed his teeth in doing a flip.
Yeah, do you know, there's a Scottish wrestler that used to wear a gum shield as well.
It's because he broke his jaw once. Samoa Joe cracked him a few times and broke his jaw. Do you know what, Joe? I saw that at 1PW. I didn't owe you money. See what I did there? I set myself up and did it myself.
Remind me, after we've recorded, I found something pretty cool. I mentioned it before, but I have actually found the format from Know Your Enemy 2008. I have it ready to show you.
Oh, I can't wait.
In the other room. Yeah, we can go through that at some point.
So is it, what else happened on Raw you want to talk about, mate?
Well, there was something at the end of the show. I'm just trying to think, was there anything other worthwhile talking about on Raw apart from the whole Shield thing?
I only watch YouTube clips of Raw now, mate. So
yeah, Raw was a bit meh. So I want to get onto my new segment.
Kalisto, stop right there.
Okay. Because this kind of has something to do with my new segment. Sadly, you need your headphones for this.
Okay.
So yeah, I thought while Graham's away, we needed to take advantage of it and do new segments. And I mentioned to you last week about how we could cover 205 Live, and you quite rightly pointed out, no fucker watches 205 Live.
Yeah.
So what would be the point? So I thought, well, what's worthwhile on 205 Live? Which is why I'm going to now present our new segment. And I wish I got this a bit more ready sooner. Because it has its own theme tune that I composed on GarageBand while I was waiting for you to arrive today.
Oh, yeah, I'd be stuck in traffic, listeners.
Yeah.
I've had a nightmare.
So it's time for...
Time for... What the fuck's this? What did it say at the start?
That's right, it's the Drew Gulak report. Every week we're going to bring you the best of Drew Gulak.
Are we?
Yes.
Where's Graham to stop this? Because I'm against
Graham's. Graham's not here. The Drew Gulak report is here. So, on the end of the Raw, all the cruiserweights came out to confront Enzo, who's been a bit of a twat. This segment, so during it, Enzo went up to Drew Gulak's face and called him Gabba Gulak and Captain Underpants. And then said, you know, you can't touch me because I've got this piece of paper, which is really silly. Because why would Kurt Angle sign off on if anyone touches Enzo, this annoying fucking little prick who shags fried chicken? Why should I fire anyone who touches him? Really, I want him to get beat up all the time because he's a twat. But instead, he had this new thing of a new signing, which the crowd got really excited for. And it turned out to be Kalisto, who had new music and a new mask that were both awesome that he didn't have the next night on 205 Live. Back to the Drew Gulak report. So the next night on the Drew Gulak report, he came on 205 Live. Drew Gulak came out and talked about Drewtopia and how Akira Tozawa has ruined everyone's chance to see the remainder of this 269 proposals for a better 205 Live. Eventually, he did start his PowerPoint presentation again to introduce a new slide, No Flipping. He was interrupted by Aya Davari, and while the match was going on, Tozawa was on the ring entrance going, ah, 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 ah. Over and over.
I feel like we're losing listeners by the second.
Yeah, I'm nearly
We've
there.
Not got many of them.
Yeah, Drew Gulak lost that match to Mustafa Ali eventually. And then his Twitter highlight of the week is saying, unacceptable, the man is always holding down the little guy. Not for long, hashtag Drewtopia. Let's move on to SmackDown.
Is there no outro music to the segment?
I could play that music again.
Well, I was hoping you would.
I'll have to quickly get it again.
Fuck me.
It's there.
This is painful.
Playing. Motherfucker. But yeah, that was the Drew Gulak report.
Alright, turn it off. What's this show become? What has this show fucking become?
This is what happens.
This is what happens, right? This is great, right? On the format, he wrote new segment and in brackets he put surprise. It was certainly something. I can't say it was surprise. You put SmackDown next. Yeah. What's happened on SmackDown, mate?
Well, it was the go-home show to Hell in a Cell.
Right, I didn't see it.
Things happened on it, including Nakamura got beat up by Jinder Mahal and his two mates, the Singh Brothers.
Oh, yeah.
Shane and Kevin Owens had a big brawl to get ready for their match.
Oh, did he say something about his kids or something? Or that a different week?
That was a different week.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, they ended up in a big brawl, and it's now a false count anywhere match in Hell in a Cell.
Yep, that's fine.
And also, Charlotte tapped out to Natalya.
Yeah, that's fine. Right. What do you expect?
Yeah.
Because she's going to win.
Yeah.
So they've got to make her lose before.
And apparently on SmackDown, they're not having AJ wrestle on SmackDown as much now because they're saving him for after 205 Live to get people to stick around.
Really?
Yeah.
Did it work?
There was quite a few people there. I mean, they were even loud during the Drew Gulak bit. I stopped watching after that.
Yeah, but isn't that because he has that no chanting sign?
Yeah.
Yeah, which is actually genius.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why we're doing the Drew Gulak report because he's the best person on that show.
I feel like every time you say Drew Gulak report, you've got to play the music.
It's too long to do that. I would. But I think Graham would actually drive here on Sunday morning, insist I take the show down and re-edit it. He would leave his new child to come
Little
and
Mo.
Re-edit the show. Little Mo Farouk.
He's actually got a name, right?
Mo Farouk.
Yeah. do you want to do predictions for Hell in a Cell?
Yeah.
If we must.
Yeah. How I figured it out, because Graham's not here, I know he's got a good excuse.
Yeah.
But still, we're going to give him the shit option.
Oh, he sent me a list.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He legit sent me a list.
Oh, cool.
So we'll put his options down.
Okay. We'll be fair.
Okay, so Shinsuke Nakamura versus... Shane McMahon versus Kevin Owens is on first on your list.
Kevin Owens is going to win, isn't he? Because he's going to chuck Shane from somewhere.
Yeah, this whole false count anywhere thing, it's got me...
It's so you can pin him on the announce table on the outside and chucks him through it.
Yeah, or they do some big stunt maybe off the staging.
Yeah.
If they've got like a big... Because we're reviewing Hell in a Cell 2010, ladies and gentlemen, later. And there was like some cage meshing stuff around the thing what John Morrison climbed up, weren't they?
Yeah.
A part of it.
Parkour.
So. Yeah, so maybe there's going to be some element to that there and he jumps off that. So, or he jumps off it and pins Kevin Owens and Kevin Owens goes to Raw. Does he? No?
Nah, I think so. Kevin Owens has got to win.
So you're saying Owens is winning?
Yeah.
I'll write that down.
What do you think?
I'm going to pick Shane McMahon just because he's the best wrestler in the world.
Will you stop?
Graham's also picked Shane McMahon.
Oh, dear.
Because we both believe he's the greatest wrestler in the world. New Day versus the Usos in the Usos penitentiary.
Who's the current champions? I don't remember.
New Day?
New Day. They're probably winning then.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Because New Day rocks.
Yeah.
New Day. Do you not like New Day?
Yeah, I like New Day, but like I think it's weird that they've gone from pre-show to main event doing the same thing, kind of. And I don't think it needs to be in the Hell in a Cell, apart from the fact that Usos say penitentiary.
Yeah, so we all think New Day's winning that one.
Yeah.
So that's a null and void one.
Yeah.
Jinder Mahal. I think that's how Graham says it.
Mahal.
Versus Shinsuke Nakamura for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship.
I would have said Nakamura, but they just announced that they're going to India in December.
Yep.
So Jinder's got to hold on.
Don't hinder Jinder.
Yeah, he's got to hang on.
I'm going to go Nakamura just because I want to be different. And Graham also doesn't want to hinder Jinder.
Yeah. I mean, he could lose it back to him like next month or something.
Yeah.
Nakamura has the best win-loss record in the WWE right now.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Do you know it on the main roster?
Yeah, I saw a stat about it today. I don't know the actual thing.
Oh, well.
Sorry, I just know that stat because someone told me today.
Natalya versus Charlotte Flair.
Charlotte.
Is that because Rick nearly died, do you think?
Yeah. Did you hear a quote from one of the interviews she did?
No.
She mentioned the fact that when she went to see her dad when he first like woke up, he didn't know who she was, but he was strutting around the ICU.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
I pick Charlotte and Graham picks Natalya. AJ Styles versus... Did you put Boring Corbin?
Boring Corbin, yeah.
Oh, he is a bit boring, isn't he?
Yeah, Boring Corbin.
Who are you picking?
Baron.
You're picking Baron?
Yeah, because they've got to give him a bit of an up, haven't they, after they've kicked him down so much recently.
I'm picking AJ because they think he's a draw.
Yeah.
Graham's picked Boring Corbin as well.
Yeah. Boring.
I think he likes his weird belly button. He did tell me that. He texted me and said, I really like Baron Corbin's weird belly
button.
It's
like a blobfish.
Yeah.
I'm some need to talk about my fucking belly, but, you know, I don't get paid to be an athlete.
I've never seen your belly button, though.
I'm a belly button.
No, don't lift your top up. I don't want to be part of your sex festival. Bobby Roode versus Dolph Ziggler.
Bobby Roode.
Graham's put Dolph Ziggler.
Why?
He didn't give me reasons. Yeah. Basically, I sent him the picture of the list of matches as we were preparing to go on air, and he sent me a list of names. And finally, Randy Orton versus Rusev.
Rusev.
Yeah.
Randy beat him in like, what, 10 seconds or whatever it was last time.
So he needs to get it back, doesn't he? Yeah, yeah. I've got that. He's got Orton.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're predictions. So tune in next week, listeners, when we reveal who won the predictions. I felt we were a bit down at that bit, so I lifted it for us all, lifted it. Got some more exciting news.
We should have done the Drew Gulak report later because I feel like the momentum's shifted after
We peaked too early. But got important Brit Rest news. Do my own jingles.
That echo was better than the one we tried to put on the advert, we're going to play later.
So, important Brit Rest news. WCPW is called Defiant Wrestling.
Oh, yeah, fuck. That's a bit of a thing. It's even a bit more a thing considering there's a really popular indie promotion in the northwest of America called Defy, who's managed to get a very loyal fan base going and everything, who are very annoyed that this company has now decided to change their name to something very similar to them.
Yeah. And Stu Bennett is going to be the general manager.
Yeah. Did you see the results of their pay-per-view?
He's got some bad news for Defy Wrestling, hasn't he? Because they're now called Defiant Wrestling, yeah?
Yeah.
We are Defiant. My Wade Barrett. No, sorry. Cease and desist.
What was the question you just asked me?
So yeah, they did the thing that all companies, when they change bookers or management or everything, did. Instantly change the champion.
Who's the champ now?
Marty Scurll is their champion now. The main event was Will Ospreay versus Joe Hendry. Early in the night, Marty Scurll was a surprise opponent against El Ligero for their Money in the Bank briefcase thing. It's called like the Magnificent Seven briefcase or something.
Okay.
And he won that and then did the Seth Rollins in the main event and won the title. And Stu Bennett held Xander at end of show and stuff. So Marty Scurll is now your champ. I also had the Young Bucks on that show and people were and they didn't have their gear, so they went Bulldog 99.
Yeah.
The jeans and Young Bucks shirts and did the got cease and desist chants.
Oh, that's good.
They lost to War Machine because, you know, War Machine. I love the Young Bucks. War Machine are the best tag team in the world.
Are they?
Two big blokes with beards who batter people. And one,
yeah, but did you see Apollo Crews and Titus O'Neil?
No.
Oh, well, I don't think you've seen the best tag team in the world then. Sorry. You've got on here, mate, Warrior-Meltzer.
Yeah.
I have a bit of an issue with talking about Meltzer on this show because it just descends into me going, how many stars did he give it? So, is he rating Warrior's death?
No, but he did give a minus 5 stars to what happened on Raw when they had the segment of, is it Show Your Warrior?
Is it the thing for Susan G. Komen? Yeah.
And they're hyping up Warrior, and Dave Meltzer thought it was a bit distasteful. And we were talking about this before we went on air, and we'll try and be as...
Don't dob me in it here,
We're going to be as decent as we can about this. When he passed away, us three all kind of at the same time went, yeah, like, I'm sad he's died, but he were a bit of a...
Let's not talk for Graham, because he's not here to disagree, but we might have said this.
Us two definitely did. We would say, yeah, but he were a bit of a dick.
Yeah.
Like, the whole queering doesn't make the world work stuff, and then the awful stuff he said about Bobby Heenan and about how he's a two-faced, awful person, and he's glad that he got cancer, because that's what karma does to you. That type of stuff. And he never, like... And Dave Meltzer's right, he never apologised or anything for that stuff. We just all forgot it when he came back to WWE. And before he went away, everyone thought, oh, Warrior's a bit of a joke. That Self-Destruction Ultimate Warrior is a great DVD. And everyone's got...
It is actually a good DVD.
Yeah. It's and now everyone's like, oh, have you seen my Warrior tattoo in that?
Yeah.
And
PT gun.
But yeah, like, Meltzer's completely right. And it's caused some controversy with people, like saying, why are you bringing this stuff up? And it's like, well, if Hulk Hogan were advertising this stuff, you'd be a bit like, it's a bit distasteful considering all the N-bombs he dropped, even though he's apologized for him and stuff. And yeah, it doesn't write the fact that he dropped all his N-bombs and said, I am a racist. But yeah, Meltzer's completely right in this one. And I'm on side with this because I remember at the time thinking, you know, Warriors, like, I'm sad he's dead, but he's a bit of a dick. And I don't really feel like celebrating him that much. And it feels a bit, I mean, there's problems with Susan G. Komen anyway.
Let's not get into breast cancer charity, mate, because, like, you know.
Just Google it.
Warrior, most wrestlers, most are scumbags.
Yeah.
Right. So, thing is, when a wrestler dies, you can probably find something they did that makes people that you could go, well, actually, they did this.
Well, considering all the wrestlers who've died during the time we've been doing the show, and we've only actually done a proper tribute to one of them.
Yeah.
Like, that shows that.
While we're talking about dead wrestling personalities, let's just give a brief mention because we don't know enough about him. But famous wrestling commentator in Memphis, weren't it? Lance Russell died this week. And I don't really know enough about him. By all accounts, he was like proper nice guy and everything. Really well known in Memphis area. And what's really cool about what they're going to do for his funeral is they're having the funeral on Saturday morning at 11 a.m, which is the exact day and time slot that he used to host the wrestling on, which is what he's most known for.
Yeah, from all accounts, he was like one of the nicest guys in the world and stuff. And like we talked about whether we should talk about it more, but neither me or you are really of the age or like much.
I could never tell you if I've heard him commentate on anything.
He introduced the War Games match, one of the War Games matches we watched the other week.
Okay.
Because he was in WCW for a brief period as well. But I feel like I should go back and watch more of him because everybody has good stuff to say about him and he was definitely a fixture of Memphis wrestling.
So talking of War Games.
Yeah.
It's coming back, isn't it?
Yeah. I believe what happened is because, you know, Triple H listens to us and he was like, he listened to the War Games episode and he got the War Games collection up on the network while he was doing it. And we're like, you know what? I might not be able to persuade Vinnie Mac to do it, but I can fucking do it.
I've got some breaking news, mate.
Go on.
Cody's chimed in.
Okay.
Because, you know, because he's a bit salty about Starrcade and that, isn't he? So he's chimed in on War Games. This is his tweet. I'm not mad. I was told. H worked for my dad, and then my dad worked for him. They were friends. Care and effort will be placed into it. So Cody's all right.
Yeah.
Just in case you were wondering, listeners, Cody's fine.
So War Games is going to take place the day before Survivor Series at NXT TakeOver.
Yep.
The one thing, you know how he said they're taking care with it.
Yep.
Sorry for the NXT spoilers here, but this has been all over the place. Who's in the match?
So it's Sanity.
Yep.
The Undisputed Era, which is the Adam Cole faction.
Yep.
And it's the Authors of Pain and Roderick Strong.
Yeah. So the love and care is to replicate one of the last proper War Games matches, which is one of the worst ones with the three different teams.
Yeah, but like I understand what you're saying.
It's
but,
hard. Like, who would you put with the Undisputed Era and Sanity? Like, I get it why it's trios going into it.
Roderick Strong's turning, isn't he? And he's going to go with Undisputed Era, surely.
Well, the whole build up to it was him like threatening to join them and then eventually turning against them and siding with the Authors of Pain.
Yeah, but how many times has Sting been turned on? Like, people, he'll turn on somebody and he'll just join them.
Yeah, but he's going to be turning on the Authors of Pain if that happens.
Or Sanity. Fuck him.
Yeah, but if he turns on the Authors of Pain, they batter the piss out of him.
No, because he's got three other mates.
Yeah, I know, but
who are they going to get? Precious Paul Eller in? It used to be Hench.
He's got War Games experience as well.
Well, I thought they'd just chuck him in it. Why not? Get his little trunks out.
Didn't he wear a vest? He had a vest and jeans on for his War Games match.
No, one of them he had trunks on.
Did he wear trunks?
Yeah.
Okay. But, Paul Ellerman could have done it. He's got experience. He's even got cage experience this year.
Exactly.
But, again, we talked about this in the group chat briefly. When was the last time a WWE pay-per-view outshone the NXT pay-per-view before it?
Yeah, it's a good point.
Never happened. And the last few have been the worst examples of it, where the NXT pay-per-views have been so good, and then the next day the WWE pay-per-views have been kind of bad. Even like WrestleMania weekend, the best WWE show of that weekend was NXT.
Yeah. Do you think that this stands WWE in good stead for when Triple H eventually takes over? Or do you think he'll just class it as something different? He'll just put it the same way.
I feel like this is because he's aiming more towards us.
Yeah.
Like, he's aiming more towards, like, my type of fan rather than the general populace, and he knows that it doesn't necessarily translate as well. I think some things will improve, but some things will stay the same.
How do you think, if this goes well, the War Games, do you think they may do it on the main roster with some people? Bear in mind the strong chance of bringing the Shield back.
Not while Vince is alive.
Well, even, but that's what I'm saying. Even if it does well, Vince sees it 100 WWE banner.
It's WCW pay-per-view. It's WCW.
Well, they're bringing Starcade back, aren't they?
Yeah, but that's it's not on network or anything.
All right, all right. What are they called? What are the renamed Night of Champions? Clash of Champions? The
Clash of Champions.
They used to do Great American Bash.
Yeah. But they stopped doing it because it went, it, like, people were like, oh, it's a WCW thing, isn't it?
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, like, do you don't think it'll have
I don't think so, because if it had any effect, he'd have done it before now.
Yeah, but he didn't see it under his banner, did he? Now it's a WWE War Games, isn't it?
Yeah. I feel like the other issue as well is the fact that it's two rings, and he'll see it as, well, it's taking revenue away.
Well, it does look weird, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You can't deny that, though.
Imagine if you buy ringside seats, and you're sat in, like, ringside of the second ring that isn't used as much through the show.
Yeah.
You'd be pissed off because you've got to see over one ring to see into the other ring.
Well, it's a risk you take, though, isn't it, when you're buying a ticket?
Yeah, you've got to try and get that central ticket on the side.
Oh. It is a bit weird they're doing three teams, though, isn't it?
Yeah, well, that was like the 98 thing, and I don't think we did that for the show, did we?
No.
But that War Games fucking sucked. It was really bad.
Why, because it were three teams, or was it the three teams involved that sucked?
Well, War Games got really shitty when NWO came along. Like, everyone talks about how great the NWO were, but they ruined War Games for a few years.
Yeah.
And that was the worst of them because it had two NWO teams in it.
So we won't be covering War Games before this show partially because we've got some special announcements which we're going to make during the break.
Yep.
And also, we've already done a show on the War Games very recently. So if you want to go back in the archive, it's royalgrumble.podbean.com, or is it podbean.com/royalgrumble?
Podbean.com/royalgrumble, I believe.
Yeah.
Go on his Facebook and we'll post links to it. Yes. Yeah. We'll want to try and jump on that gravy train.
Yeah, so we have already covered like all the major War Games matches anyway.
All the good ones.
Yeah.
A few bad ones.
So we're talking the break. I think it's time for a break.
This November, the Royal Grumble podcast presents Montreal 20 Years On. Tune in on the 5th of November for Career Mode Heart Foundation 1997, where we take a look at the Heart Foundation's rise and fall in the WWF during 1997. On the 12th of November, we discuss whether we think the Montreal Screwjob was all planned out ahead of time. In the Grumble debate, was the Montreal Screwjob a work? And on the 19th of November, we review the full pay-per-view where the notorious event took place, Survivor Series 1997. That's not all. We will round off the month on the 26th of November with a look back at this year's Survivor Series weekend, including NXT TakeOver War Games. Expect all that and much, much more during the Royal Grumble podcast presents Montreal 20 Years On.
Welcome back. Are you excited, Dan?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're doing Bret Hart stuff in November, aren't we?
Yeah, loads of Bret Hart.
Yeah, but you're jizzing your pants, aren't you?
You know what? This is going to be the first time I've watched Survivor Series 97 since it happened.
Yeah?
I've never gone back and watched it.
Are we going to traumatise you?
Probably not, because I've managed to watch Royal Rumble 94 since I was a kid, and we talked about that last week, about how much that traumatised me. But no, I should be fine. I'm really looking forward to 97 Heart Foundation, because despite what happened at the end of it, and I know we're going to talk about this all the way through November.
Yeah.
Despite what happened at the very end, that was probably Bret Hart's best year in WWE.
Yeah.
Like, that year was fucking brilliant. Like, even if you go Survivor Series to Survivor Series, fucking amazing. Like, he had the best year, and I'm really looking forward to jumping into it.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about the Montreal Screwjob for a solid month, and then never speak of it again.
Yeah. Until WWE bring it up once every 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, until they do another fuck finish on a pay-per-view that's reminiscent of the Screwjob, and then we'll definitely bring it up.
I think they've done it twice since we've been doing the show in the past year or so. Like, they trot it out quite often, and you think Survivor Series is going by without some fucking mention of it. Because Vince, as much as, like, you know, he had to show his wounds on TV afterwards, fucking loves that he did it.
Yeah, of course he does. Well, the year after. The fucking year after he did it again, didn't he?
Yep.
But this week we are covering Hell in a Cell 2010. We just spoke about it last week, didn't we, that we were going to do it. I can't say I enjoyed it too much.
Yeah, I had to do it in two sittings.
Me too, I fell asleep.
I got through the first hour and had to turn it off and play some Watch Dogs 2. I've mentioned that on the show previously. It's my favourite game at the moment. I keep playing it.
Yep.
And then I did some other stuff, and then I watched the rest of it on my iPad while I played more Watch Dogs. So I was paying attention.
Where did your first sit-in stop? Because I got up to the start of the Wade Barrett Cena match, then I had to
No, I was way before that. What was the third match?
Edge and Jack Swagger.
It was after the Sheamus Orton match.
Oh, okay.
Because that was a long match.
It's a long haul. So let's get into it. So first match, we had John Morrison, The Miz, and Daniel Bryan in a triple threat match. Submissions count anywhere for the WWE United States Championship.
I've got the Wrestling Observer stuff in front of me, and I just want to point out that like it was pretty much so. 51 people rated it thumbs up, 50 people voted it thumbs down, and 25 were in the middle, which is actually in the middle of that between 0 and 50. That's quite good.
Yeah.
And then this won the best match poll with 62 votes. The worst match was the main event, apparently.
Yeah. We'll get on to the main event later. I've got lots of words to say about the main event.
Lots of them.
Yeah.
There was a dark match to this.
Yeah, but I couldn't find it. I assume it was like a heat match or something.
It was Goldust and R-Truth and Kofi Kingston beating Cody Rhodes, Drew McIntyre and Dolph Ziggler. The match built around the Rhodes brothers with Goldust big brother in and pinning Cody.
I wonder how Cody felt about that. I wonder if he's tweeted to let us know.
You'd think he'd tweet less considering how like ridiculously hot his wife is. You'd be busy, wouldn't you?
Well, yeah, but he's seen it all before, hasn't he? You're a misogynist. Daniel Bryan won. He tapped out The Miz. Yeah, The Miz on the stage because Alex Riley ran in, did some bullshit. I forgot Alex Riley existed, to be honest.
Yeah, A-Rai.
Yeah.
In his pure A-Rai stage before he showed up on Glow.
Yeah, because this was circa NXT, weren't it? It were good.
This was like NXT season 2 just finished.
Yes, because
there's a thing later on.
Yeah.
This was the best match on the show. It got 3.5 stars because I know you're going to ask that because I've got this stuff in front of me. It's kind of amazing to me thinking about what Daniel Bryan is now and what he was only a few years ago. He gets zero reaction at the beginning of this match. Like, he comes out and his music's playing and everyone's just like, who?
Yeah.
Morrison gets big pop. Miz gets booed and the people shouting awful over his catchphrase.
It doesn't help that, which I want to get onto now, Michael Cole is a heel.
Oh, fucking hell,
This is all around that time where he hated Daniel Bryan. When your lead announcer is cheerleading the heel and saying that the babyface is a weirdo and a geek, and it's like, well, why would the audience...
You want to know, right? It's not... Let's get into all the commentary stuff now, because that was the thing that fucking drove me insane through the entire fucking show. The constant bickering between Michael Cole, Jerry Lawler, and fucking Matt Stryker. I hate Matt Stryker as much as anybody, but fucking hell, it was terrible. Matt Stryker trying too hard, and those two fucking people ripping the fuck out of him continuously and just bickering backwards and forwards. It was bullshit. I wanted to watch it on silent. I eventually turned it down for the main event.
Well, I watched this horrible. On the second sit-in. My girlfriend was watching it with me, and she was saying, why do they always shut him down after he makes a joke? I went, well, have you not heard his fucking jokes? Shit as fuck. I'd shut him down.
It's like, as well, Michael Cole is like the head of the announcers and apparently like wrote the book on like how to treat your fellow announcers and stuff.
Yeah.
Fucking didn't listen to his own advice then, did he?
Jerry Lawler is at side of him and he's a legend, isn't he? So like, while there might be a book, I assume that if like Jerry Lawler or Booker T's on commentary, Michael Cole can't be like, shut the fuck up, because they're legends.
Booker T does say like, shucky wookie quack quack, whatever it is.
Yeah, it's shucky ducky quack quack.
Shucky ducky quack quack.
They made a graphic for it and everything, it had a duck. Don't sigh. It was one of the greatest moments of the WrestleMania pre-show 2 years ago. So,
Yeah, the commentary drove me absolutely up the wall, and it reminded me about why I started hating wrestling in this period.
I've got some quotes from Matt Stryker,
okay,
if you want. So we are spoiling a few shows. Do you want to filter it in
just
throughout the show?
Go back like to earlier on this year when I went to What Culture for the first time and they had Matt Stryker on commentary, and I mentioned the fact that it's kind of good I'm not in the front row, because if I was sat behind him, I'd have been kicked out within 5 minutes for punching him in the back of Ed.
Yeah.
Because I'd have been able to hear him, and that's just, I can't do it.
Do you want the quotes sprinkled through the show, or do you want them all now?
Sprinkle through the show, because I can't do them all at once.
I haven't got any for the opening contest, but I've got a few for later on.
Okay.
What I have got, though, is Miz is the exact same character now as he was then.
Only difference is he's got Maurice with him.
She's not even with him anymore, is she?
Oh, yeah.
She's at home preggers.
Yeah.
Like, he comes out to do a promo, doesn't he? Yeah. And he's like, oh, I've been held back. Why am I not in the main event and all this bullshit? It's like, oh, and 7 years later.
Well, difference is that actually led to him being in the main event the next year at WrestleMania.
7 years later, he's still in the same position though, isn't he?
Yeah, well, he went up and he went back down again.
Yeah.
Because he was the WWE champion less than a year later.
Yeah.
And then, you know, now he's back there again. I'd be depressed if I were him a little. Well, I guess we know why he ain't depressed.
Yeah.
Call me a misogynist again. Go on.
Well, I thought you were going to say he's not depressed because he's got the Mistourage either side of him. And then but all he has to do is look at them two and be like, my career could have gone this way. Randy Orton defeated Sheamus for the Hell in a Hell Cell match for the WWE Heavyweight Championship.
And that match is just ending now.
I have my only notes for this is pretty boring. And then after that, it's a Matt Stryker quote.
Go on.
Randall. He calls him Randall. Jerry Lawler then says, why did you say that? And Matt Stryker says, I don't know.
This got 3.25 stars. So it was a very long match where it was kind of like they go outside, do some brawl, and the crowd would start getting up, and then Sheamus drag him at ring and put him in a rest hold for 10 minutes. And then they do that again, and then Orton would put him in a rest hold. And it was that until eventually RKO's. The last 5 minutes was all right when they just started throwing out hot finishes and stuff, but
yeah.
Other than that, this wasn't a great match at all. And yeah. This was on during this time, this is when Sheamus had ended the career of Triple H.
Yeah, they were on about that, weren't
they? Yeah, and they eventually faced off at WrestleMania. I don't remember how that match went, but I'm guessing did Sheamus win?
No, surely Triple H won that, surely.
Yeah, probably.
I don't know. This is like last week when we couldn't remember WrestleMania match coming at all. We couldn't remember any of it.
We couldn't remember that Brock Lesnar and Goldberg had their final encounter.
Yeah.
Left a huge mark on us. They did an interview with the Nexus next.
It started with the NXT Season 3 Divas, didn't it?
A skinny Naomi.
Which is the greatest season of NXT. And I'm counting NXT when Finn Balor was on it and Shinsuke Nakamura. The greatest time of NXT was NXT Season 3. And fucking come at me, listeners, if you think fucking otherwise, right? It's got fucking Caitlyn, fucking AJ Lee, Michael Cole's got a bong, CM Punk takes a piss for an episode. Fuck you if you think anything else has been better with Yellow Ropes.
I'm with you. I've watched that CM Punk on commentary highlight video continuously. It's fucking brilliant.
It's joyous, especially when he says, who... about his future wife.
I think she was still dating Trent Barretta at the time. Who's not mentioned in her book for some reason.
Where's Trent?
Oh no, Trent is mentioned, kind of. It's Jay Lethal who isn't mentioned.
Massive racist.
Yeah.
So then Nexus walk in, don't they?
Yeah.
And this is where I wish we had Graham, because I know that he does a good impression of Wade Barrett.
He does a good Wade Barrett.
Yeah, and I can't come close to it, so I'm not even going to try.
Yeah, we could do a really bad one on purpose.
Wade Barrett, Barrett Barrage. Is that what? That's a bad one.
The winds of change are coming.
Yeah, something like that.
And then there's other ones. There's Justin Gabriel. Can you do South African?
No, I can barely do Yorkshire.
Yeah, then there's Heath Slater.
I can't do Ginger.
Ryback weren't with me, were he?
No.
Now,
probably torn
muscle. This was only to establish the fact that Nexus weren't allowed to interfere, otherwise John Cena would get an auto win.
Yeah.
Which isn't like any other match when there's a fucking interference.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah, but the stakes were higher, weren't they? Because if Cena won, the Nexus would have to disband.
Yeah.
And I think what it meant was, even if the referee was distracted and they interfered, then retroactively retroactively, they'd just say...
You can't play with Wade anymore, Heath. Ooh. That type of thing.
Yeah, well, Ginger got a group of mates, hasn't he? Yeah. They're letting him play.
Yeah.
You don't have to go in goal this time, Heath. Come on.
Wade supports Preston, so he doesn't shoot much.
although he was billed from Manchester, England later in the show.
Yeah, it was that thing where it's like, well, he's Northern, so we can't say London.
So then... we come back out and Tony Chimmel's in the ring.
Oh, yes.
And stood just behind him is Ricardo Rodriguez.
Yeah.
Who then... So the ring announcer introduces the ring announcer who introduces Del Rio, who then comes out to cut a promo.
Yeah. He debuted not long before this.
Yeah.
And it led to Edge coming out. And this was during a period of Edge where I felt like they could have done so much more with it. Like Edge's campaign against stupidity.
Yeah. Well, there was a lot of it because this was during the time of the anonymous general manager.
Yeah, like he had that segment and then he showed up on SmackDown the next, like, well, not next night, on the Friday night SmackDown. And then this was the pay-per-view after that, after he like smashed the laptop and everything. But it didn't go for much longer, the whole thing against stupidity, but that would have been perfect because there was a lot of stupid shit in WWE at the time. And Edge was kind of like the perfect guy to get angry at it.
Yeah.
And it ended up with, because he'd attacked Jack Swagger on SmackDown, which led to Swagger coming out.
No, he'd attacked Jack Swagger's mascot on SmackDown. Yeah. There's a human being in that costume, Edge. It's a human being with medical bills.
Yeah, so all the stupidity is going along and Edge is like, this is stupid. Let's just have a wrestle. So we get Edge versus Jack Swagger.
Funnily enough, that was a better promo than what was cut on the show.
Yeah.
If he just said, let's just have a wrestle.
Let's do a wrestle, mate.
Yeah, I'd have enjoyed it more. Yeah, so all I've got here is Anonymous GM got involved. They made the match, didn't they?
Yeah. If I could have your attention, please. We have received a message from the Anonymous Raw General Manager.
And I quote.
Yeah, and I quote. Do a wrestle.
Yeah. Edge won.
Edge won. It was an all right match. It felt like the crowd even knew this is just to get Edge on pay-per-view and Jack Swagger doing something.
Jack Swagger put him over.
Yeah. I mean, it weren't bad.
Yeah, I think Jack Swagger carried him to victory.
It felt like it could have been on SmackDown.
Yeah. Like, how many stars did it get?
It got, where's the star rating? 2.5.
Yeah, because Jack Swagger can have a match with a broom. I don't know if you know that. Like, he's really good.
Yeah. So after this, David Otunga had a plan backstage.
Yeah.
That's what the notes say that I stole directly from Big Meltz.
Okay.
David Otunga had a plan backstage. I don't know if that's a euphemism. The other guys told him if they interfered, Nexus was over.
They're just hammering it home, aren't they, that Nexus is going to be over?
Yeah. Well, what if John wins? Big match John.
Yeah.
Big John, big.
So that leads to Wade Barrett versus John Cena, doesn't it?
Yeah. Forcing Cena to join the Nexus.
So I must have skipped a bit of the match because my first note is Nexus came down and Barrett got Marty.
Yeah, and he said to him, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was kind of it. And then there was, you know, it was a weird, like, again, this was an all right match. It was fine. I'm sorry that we're not more enthusiastic about this show.
Well, like, it's just hard to get enthusiastic about it because we know where it leads.
Yeah. Like it was kind of, like, I remember at the time the finish of this match was kind of like, ooh, this will be interesting.
Yeah.
And it wasn't.
That's the issue. I think if we were reviewing it at the time, we'd be like, oh, this is fucking mint.
Yeah, it's kind of
like,
cool.
Cena's not going to be a heel, but like he's going to have that heelish tendency where he's got to be in the Nexus, so he's got to do what they say. But that didn't happen.
No, it's kind of like the Summer of Punk, which ended with him coming back too soon and them kind of fucking it around. And
yeah.
But anyway, so the whole match is, you know, Cena fighting from underneath Wade. Wade's like getting the better of him a lot of time. And eventually Cena starts the five moves of doom and all that.
He does the top rope leg drop thing, which I really hate. I really hate that move. I don't hate it as much as the springboard stunner.
Yeah.
Which he's not done as often.
He throws a drop kick at the beginning of this match. Fucking ugly drop kick.
yeah. He had a habit of doing that around that time. I think he was doing shit like that because people were saying you can't wrestle.
Yeah.
So he tried to do moves like that, proving that he couldn't do them. Yeah. I was like, just stick to what you're good at, mate. You do them five moves. You're doing really well. Apart from five knuckle shuffle, you never actually hit them. But it's over, so fuck it.
Yep.
And we're all laughing. We all love it.
Yeah. So the finish of this is
wait. Can I just bring you back to your previous point when you said that like Cena were fighting from underneath and like Barrett were getting the better of him. I've got here Barrett is kind of treated equally.
Yeah.
Do you think it's a missed opportunity or do you think it was a missed opportunity?
Massive.
Because I think Barrett looked like a star.
Yeah. I'm guessing you've listened to the thing when Edge was on Jericho's podcast and they talked about how they argued with John Cena about the Survivor Series match.
Yeah.
When Cena beat three members of the Nexus by himself and they were like, that's a bad decision. And it kind of chopped the balls from Wade Barrett.
Yeah.
Like he was on the way to being something special and just a big signature win where he didn't have to cheat would have probably done it for him and he'd have been a main eventer.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He what was probably the best shot we had at the first British champion for a long while.
Yeah. Well, since Regal, because Regal probably would have got it, wouldn't he, if he didn't get busted for drugs.
I always thought that they were going to do Regal Triple H and Regal win the belt off him just for like a quick run. But like, he was the next big hope for it. And Cena happened, which is kind of annoying, because most of the time I wouldn't be like that about John Cena as much, because, you know, he just does his thing and he's good at it. But this was the one time where
that was the one where I can't remember what event it was at. Was it Survivor Series?
Yeah, it was Survivor Series. And then the TLC afterwards is when he finished him off.
But the Survivor Series one was more, I think it's worse, because I think he gets DDT'd on concrete, doesn't he? They set the mats up, he gets DDT'd. Then he basically survives the 10 count, dives back in, does an FU and pins whoever's left and wins. Yeah. And it's just like, I wouldn't have an issue with him winning. It's the way he won that made Wade look weak, I think. Yeah.
And he never recovered from it, sadly.
Whereas here, I don't think Wade Barrett ever looked weak. No. Yeah, seen him at the upper hand a few times, but that happens in matches.
No, he looked on par with, like, if you were to look at, like, Sheamus in the other title match, he's on par with Sheamus.
Yeah.
Like, in terms of how Sheamus were Randy Orton.
Yeah.
Like, he was decent in here.
Did you ever think the Nexus were a bit shit?
I really liked Nexus at first.
I liked the opening angle for the Nexus, but I thought there were too many of them.
I forgot how good their theme music was. I really like their theme music. They had really good music.
I thought there were too many of them. You know, if they'd have just focused on the core members of the Nexus, I feel like that would have been a better group.
Oh, don't.
When are we going to do the special episode on the core? Can we do a month on the core?
No.
Please.
No, because WWE barely did a month on the core. 2 weeks in, they're like, oh, what's Wade Barrett doing? Who's that bloke with him?
Why have they spelt it with two R's?
Vince is there. Shelton, you've gained some weight.
So a fan dives in the ring.
Yeah.
And then another fan comes in and it's Cena with a lead pipe.
Yeah.
Can I point out that we talked about NXT earlier. Mm. NXT season 2 had just finished. Who won it? Was it Michael McGillicuddy? No, he didn't, did he?
No.
No.
No fucking way.
No, but he was in it. Yeah. So Michael McGillicuddy, Husky Harris, now known as Curtis Axel and Bray Wyatt.
Yep.
They do a little run in. Michael McGillicuddy distracts the referee. Husky Harris dives in, smacks him with a lead pipe, and Wade Barrett gets the win.
I did enjoy who are these two guys who've been on TV for 12 weeks?
This is what I'm getting at. Michael Cole is the lead announcer of NXT. He's the one on commentary and he doesn't recognize Matt. I'm pretty sure Matt Stryker is the one that holds the microphone. He's like the host. He is. Mm. He's the host.
Yeah.
He's got the one with the earpiece in. So the host of NXT and the lead announcer of NXT are sat at the side of the ring. And yeah, you might not have seen Michael McGillicuddy's face at first, but surely you'd recognize him. Oh, I recognize him. Oh, that guy that's just died off at Barry. I can clearly see that's fucking NXT rookie Husky Harris. But they're going, oh, who are these? Never seen these before.
Especially considering Husky Harris is also the son of one of the agents.
Yeah, but my point is, it's not like it's 205 Live where they probably don't watch it.
Yeah.
Like, they're there. They're watching it.
They're on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, they interfere and it costs Cena the match and he has to join the Nexus.
Nexus. This is going to lead somewhere really good, isn't it?
Yeah, it's going to be great.
Does this lead to him becoming Juan Cena?
Juan Cena, I think it does.
Yeah, on house shows, he wears a purple mask on his called Juan Cena.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Yeah. Next up was the piss break match.
No. You're missing the bit where Josh Matthews searches backstage for Paul Bearer.
Oh, yeah. Josh Matthews is on this show. He was so orange.
Yeah.
Proper orange. I also noticed how tanned Randy Orton is when he's next to Sheamus, because Sheamus points out like shows like everyone else like I'm really tanned today. That's just because Sheamus is white as snow.
So Paul Bearer says that he's been away for 6 years. Do you remember the last time he was on TV?
He was encased in concrete like Han Solo in carbonite
by
the Dudley Boys and oh no, it was by the Undertaker.
By the Undertaker. Do you think that's going to lead somewhere later?
Nah.
No one's going to remember a storyline from 6 years ago, are they?
Nah.
No. Moving on. Piss break match.
Yeah. Because this is during the time before the Divas Revolution, then the Women's Revolution, before Stephanie McMahon started that whole thing off.
Yep.
Yeah. When the women were kind of just, oh yeah, give them a chance to go get some popcorn before the real mate, before the lads come out.
Yeah, so this is Natalya versus Michelle McCool for the WWE Divas Championship. At the last pay-per-view, Michelle McCool unified the Women's and the Divas Championship.
Yeah, so her and Layla are co-champions.
Yes.
They both have titles. And eventually, didn't they have one title at one point?
It was like they were splitting off. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I remember that. So, yeah.
Can I just... I've got a Matt Stryker quote.
Go on.
On Michelle McCool, this is... arguably the greatest in-ring diva of all time.
Except Fabulous Moolah and Trish Stratus.
Yes.
That, Meltzer pointed out that one. I've got it in front of me.
I was going to ask you if you knew who the exceptions were. Yeah. So it goes Fabulous Moolah, then Trish Stratus, then Michelle McCool. So when we eventually do our women's Mount Rushmore, we've got three. We've got the three there.
I just want to point out that Dave Meltzer on this, you can tell that this is from a few years before this guy's peak. He says, Fabulous Moolah, a great in-ring performer. Maybe the next time Luke Gallows wrestles, he can say he was the greatest in-ring performer of all time, except for Kurt Hennig and Brutus Beefcake. Fucking Luke Gallows must have been sat there like, hey, I'm off to Japan, then he'll love me.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was a DQ finish because Layla threw a shoe in the ring.
Yeah.
I mean, wasting time, innit?
Yeah, I mean, I had a piss. Did you have a piss?
Nah, I watched it.
Did you?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
I know for a fact that Michelle McCool was definitely shagging Undertaker during this period. And Undertaker is a dead man. And as we are well aware on this podcast, you can't slander the dead, so it's fine. Yep. And the reason I know that they were shagging is because she used a heel hook. Where would she have learnt that?
I guess.
I'll tell you where she'd have learnt it. One of the various Las Vegas gyms that The Miz was learning his submission moves at that Matt Stryker pointed out earlier in the day.
Oh, yeah. Fucking hell.
Do you like Matt Stryker? I fucking hate him.
Yeah, he's the worst.
Yeah.
He's just the worst. Oh, fucking hate Matt Stryker. He just tries too hard. That's the thing. He tries way too hard. It'd be all right if he toned it down a bit, but he just overdoes every sentence and he has to try and come up with smart things to say for everything. Like, if he said a smart thing once every fucking blue moon, everyone would be like, ooh, that were a smart thing. But everyone's just like, shut the fuck up, Matt. You're a twat. Fuck off. That's what he's just the worst. Let's go to the main event. And the reason why we watched this pay-per-view, because I was like, I don't remember this match. Kane versus The Undertaker in a Hell in a Cell. How can I not remember this match? It's going to be awesome.
Was it awesome?
No.
Okay.
It was all right. Like, I didn't hate it as much as like Meltzer hated it. He only gave it half a star, whereas I thought it were all right. It were what I expected, kind of.
I'll tell you how bored I was. I Googled when the Knox County election is. It's 1st of May 2018.
Yeah, it's next year because Bruce Pritchard mentioned it.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, yeah. That's how I remember. He keeps mentioning it because I think he's been doing some campaigning with him.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. So,
can you imagine if Brother Love and Kane knocked at your door? It'd be like Flutter and Chris Masters when you didn't get a DVD, wouldn't it? Bleep whatever you want of that. I don't care.
Yeah, that's getting left, that one.
Good. Matt Stryker said during this, Paul Bearer had an affair with a woman who worked in a funeral home, which then spawned the demon seed Kane.
Mm.
Wasn't that woman also the Undertaker's mother?
Yeah.
He left that bit out.
Yeah, that's kind of a big part of the story.
Yeah, because later on he does mention their brothers, and it's like, well, Paul Bearer's not Undertaker's dad, so that woman that worked in the funeral home must have been, by default, Undertaker's mum.
Taker's mammy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And their whole story. See, the whole thing between Kane and Undertaker is awesome. Like, the whole story is pretty cool and also very ridiculous. But I thought this match, you can tell it's two guys who were at the wrong end of the career to be doing this match. If this match had happened in, like, 98, 99, it'd have been the best thing ever. Just before Kane started getting feelings and Team OEX pack and shit.
Yeah, and, like, wanting to shag Tori.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, peak Kane. It would have been great. But yeah, this match, it was all right. I didn't hate it. I thought it was the better of the two Hell in the Cell matches. But I think it's just because I gave Kane and Undertaker more leeway because it's Kane and Undertaker. And Paul Bearer is there at ringside doing that with his arm. He's going,
What can we clip that and just have that playing on a loop at the end of the show?
My voice don't go high enough to do a decent Paul Bearer impression. I'm sure Graham would do a better job. He is the resident impressions bloke.
Yeah, when you're saying about is the better of the two Hell in a Cells, it's like, well, they were both a bit shit.
Yeah, but this is what we expect. Can you remember when we did that episode where we talked about like the three things we would change about WWE, and I said I'd get rid of all gimmick pay-per-views?
Yeah.
Because of this shit, we got really two kind of poor Hell in a Cell matches for the sake of doing Hell in a Cell matches, and we're going to have the same this weekend.
It's like, no.
I feel like they'll
fuck
be
off
this weekend,
Ryan, because that Shane McMahon one will not be shit. I'm telling you now, we will enjoy that.
Yeah, it'll be good.
And but, I think the Usos will be good, because the Usos and New Day want to prove a point.
Yeah, but they wouldn't have been Hell in a Cell matches if it weren't, oh, Hell in a Cell's in October.
So, hang on. We missed something out of the WWE title match. Of the Cena title, the Cena match.
Okay.
But it's because we said New Day. So, the Nexus has come down and the WWE locker room have cleared cleared them all out. And the reason why it reminded me when we said New Day is because Kofi Kingston were there.
Yeah.
So, I'm sat with girlfriend and... I've known her for about 2 years, listeners, right? And we're actually recording on the 2 year anniversary. She don't listen, so I'm not going to wish her happy anniversary. She should listen, really. She loves me. And we were watching it, and she's only ever watched wrestling when I watch wrestling, so she don't know anything about it really. And Kofi Kingston's there. She went, and I said to her, "Oh, I bet you don't know half of these people that were there, because you know there were like quite a lot of them. I think only Goldust and Big Show maybe she'd know, and obviously Kofi Kingston." And then she went, "Oh, all the New Day are there." I went, "Well, one of the New Day's there." We then paused it. She pointed out MVP. She pointed out Mark Henry. Massive racist. She knows Mark Henry. Yeah. We've seen Mark Henry. I'll let her slide an MVP. In a way.
Yeah, I'm going to say, phrasing. Right. Anyway, so the end of this match is what we hinted at earlier. Paul Bearer gets in there and he's got the urn and he gives it to Kane and he goes, "Give him a clobber." So Kane goes, "All right," and clobbers Undertaker. Undertaker's there like, "Why, Paul? Why?" Like, well, you did dump him in fucking concrete a few years ago. Maybe he's a bit annoyed.
Yeah, like, I didn't know he turned on him, but I fully expected it.
Hmm.
Because why wouldn't he turn on him?
Yeah.
Do you not think that weird light and video show were like really fucking weird at the end?
Yeah.
Like when he called for the tombstone and then all the thunder and lightning happened. Then Paul Bearer went, obviously the shining the light I get, but like all the other bullshit on the stage, like did somebody just press play backstage and all that shit happened?
It was just all a bit weird and kind of like a weird ending to it. Like I said, I didn't mind this match that much because I gave Undertaker and Kane leeway on it. It was fine. But I don't think the pay-per-view this Sunday will be as bad as this one. It seems like this was during a period when WWE was struggling a little bit.
Yeah.
Probably weren't, but looking back now, it feels like they were a bit shit creatively.
I mean, they did main event a show in 2010 with Kane versus Undertaker.
Yeah.
A match that has, like, they must have done about six times before, and it were never good.
Mm.
Never good.
The first one, the WrestleMania 14 one, were all right.
Was it?
Yeah.
Rose tinted glasses, all right. Or
I didn't mind 20 either.
For a spectacle,
yeah.
Not for a match. It was
a WrestleMania match. It was spot on.
Mm.
Yeah.
I mean, I preferred the main event of Triple H versus Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania 20.
Oh dear, are we going to end it on that really?
Well no, because Eddie Guerrero came out and lifted his belt up, so
yeah, that was weird.
Yeah,
but yeah, that's Hell in a Cell.
Did you, how many stars would you give Hell in a Cell?
2.
No, we can only give it, surely we can only give it like 4.75 or 0.
0 then, dud.
Yeah, 0 stars. Yeah, we can't get 4.75.
Yeah, it's definitely not a 4.75 show.
No.
Let's hope this weekend is and it surprises us all.
Yeah, well, I'm already giving Shane McMahon versus Kevin Owens 5 stars already.
4.75, mate.
No, it's getting 5. I'm giving it 5. I'm going to watch it from the Tokyo Dome. I'm going to give it 5 stars.
That'd be 5.75.
Ah, oh, you and your fucking star ratings, mate.
Don't you fucking brought it up.
I don't give a fuck about star
you said ratings, the three quarters thing. That's the rule. Rain would back me up here if he were here.
Oh, but he's not, is he? He's
too busy being fertile.
Yeah, remember that. What are we doing next week, mate?
We're going to be talking about this weekend's Hell in the Cell pay-per-view that'll be on tonight if you listen to it on the day of release.
Yeah.
Released. Release.
Are we done?
Yeah. There'll be more Drew Gulak report next week.
There'll be Japanese news next week, mate.
Not next week. Oh, wait, no, is it King of Pro Wrestling this week? No, it's next weekend.
Okay, are you going to any British wrestling shows?
No.
Okay, so only thing to look forward to, listeners, is Drew Gulak report, which went very fucking well the first week, and bloody Hell in a Cell review, which we think is going to be shit. So that's it for this week. Please go and find us on Facebook, facebook.com/RoyalGrumble. Follow us on Twitter at Royal Grumble Pod. Find us on iTunes if you haven't already. And while you're there, give us a quick rate and review. And visit us at royalgrumble.weebly.com for articles and everything in one place. Have you got anything else to add?
Nope.
And I say goodbye, Dan.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Daryl.